Messages that will bring us greater light on that. The point, as you will see, is that God is the power, is our power and protection. And I think it's important, or as the editors of the NASB put it, he is the security when we trust in him. So it's important for us to recognize that this is the God that we are dealing with. He gives us many reassurances in Psalm 91. And I really recommend during this COVID time that you read Psalm 91 over and over and over again, maybe every day, because this is just designed, I think, for our time and for the reassurance that we may need. For instance, in chapter 91, Psalm 91, verses 3 through 8. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Oh, you mean it isn't the doctors? You mean it isn't all of the politicians? It's he. I wonder who he is. Oh, that must be a reference to God. And he is the one who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. Your faithfulness, his faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your right side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. All right, do we relate to these things? Well, not so much to the arrows by day, unless you happen to be in an airport in Afghanistan. But, or what about the destruction that lays waste by day? When I was a kid, this was the big deal. We had a neighbor in our neighborhood who built something to protect them from tornadoes, you know, an underground shelter, all right? Or in school, we would have these nuclear fallout drills where we would climb under the seat of our desk and put a book over our head. It must be a really thick book to do a decent job. And we're going through the same sort of thing nowadays, stuff that is no way connected with actual solving the problem. But he is the one who delivers us, and it's important for us to recognize that. All right, so, or the pestilence that stalks by night. Ever hear of COVID? Ever not hear of COVID? A pestilence so small that you can't see it. It's small, so small that it passes through our masks. You know, that's the kind of thing. But God protects from these kinds of things. God protects from that pestilence, from that arrow, from that destruction that goes by day. Do we trust in the Lord? That's the big question. And so, how do we relate to these things? Let's look at verse 1 of Psalm 91. And because it's central to the whole psalm. Verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, Elyon is the Hebrew name, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, Shaddai. You ever hear of that song? Should be familiar with it. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon, Na Adonai. From age to age, you're the same. By the power of your name. So here we have two names of God that are brought out in this very first verse of Psalm 91. Elyon, Most High, Shaddai, the Almighty. And I think it's important for us to recognize that the verse 1 is the key to the rest of the psalm. If we are to understand that God protects us from the arrow that flies by night or the day or the pestilence by night or the destruction, we have to understand that God is the high, Most High, and that he is the Almighty. He is Elyon. He is Shaddai. So in this Psalm 91, we see three things. First of all, we learn something about God. Number two, we learn something about what he has or what he does for us. And three, we learn about what he expects of us. So these are important things for us to look at. Let's look at this first thing, something about God. All right, now, so Shaddai means almighty. Doesn't mean mostly mighty. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm in charge of everything except those things that most concern you. It's almighty. Almighty. Not mostly mighty. Mighty for you, but not for me. Especially in the case of arrows or pestilence or devastation. Or lions or tigers or bears. Oh, my. Yeah. It is made parallel with Elyon, the Most High. God is the Most High, and he is the Almighty. God is the Most High. He is above all the gods of the nations. He's above all of the angelic powers, whatever they might be. And he can accomplish whatever he promises to do. So, he is the Almighty. But Shaddai is not only a word that relates to his almightiness, but it's also a relationship term, that it is something that is given to the saints as a reassurance. Because in Psalm 91 and in all these other places, you find that God presents this idea of Shaddai, the Almighty, as an encouragement to us that what I'm promising you, I will do it, and I can do it because I'm the Almighty. I'm the Most High. And it's important for us to recognize this. So, it deals with not only his power, but the relationship that he has to his saints. In Exodus 6:3, it tells us that the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, didn't even know God by his name, Yahweh. They knew him by the name God Almighty, El Shaddai. That's how they knew him. That was the name that he gave them to explain who he was. So, in the nine times in Genesis, for instance, the nine uses of this word Shaddai in Genesis, they are all addressed to people who know him. They are all addressed to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so forth. All right, so those are the kinds of things that are important. And so you might ask the question, well, here we are doing a study of the first few chapters of Genesis. How did we end up in Psalm 91? Well, the first use of the term El Shaddai pertains to Abraham, and it's in Genesis 17, verse 1. Let me read verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, so he's a little older than you, Nancy, so there's still hope. Okay. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. There's our term. Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. We have already seen in earlier studies that we are called to be fruitful and that there is blessing from God, that we are to multiply, fill the earth, and rule over it. Here, we have that promise, or one aspect of it, applied to Abraham. We have also seen that the kingdom of God is the ultimate fulfillment of this, that God has given promises to Abraham at 2000 B.C. that pertain to the end of time. Now the question is, can he do it? Or can he... Can he fulfill the promises that he has given to you? In other words, is he the Almighty? As we were having our large table, Trevor asked the question. He was standing with us, and he asked the question, can you lose what God has said, you know, eternal life? And that really pertains to what we're talking about here. It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent on the Almighty. And is he the Almighty, or is he less than the Almighty? If he is the Almighty, then he's Almighty, not something less than that. In other words, your salvation ultimately doesn't depend upon you. Yes, you have a part in it, but God has caused you to be born again. He has placed his Holy Spirit within you, and he has forgiven all of your sins, past, present, and future. Oh, you mean sins I haven't even forgotten, you haven't even done yet? Well, yeah, because when Christ died 2,000 years ago, all of your sins were future. So if he didn't take care of future sins, he didn't take care of any of your sins. But the truth of the matter is he's taking care of all of them because he is the Almighty. And I think that's important for us to recognize. And this is part of the promise that starts in Genesis chapter 1. Blessing, fruitfulness. God has promised that he will do that to you. And this promise to Abraham is, he even gives the name, the Almighty, to give this reassurance that God is the one who is in charge. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty. Genesis 17:1 says. So we've already seen in other earlier studies that God has called us to be fruitful, that he has given us blessing, that he has called us to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue and rule it. And this is the promise that is given to Abraham, particularly the multiplying part. All right, and through Abraham, it comes to us, as we're told, particularly in the New Testament. But look at this. Shaddai is directly related to his eternal covenant. It is an eternal covenant word. All right, it's not just saying he's the Almighty, but he's saying that I am your Almighty. I am the one who is going to guarantee to you that what he has begun, he will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That is the promise that he has given us. So interestingly, in Genesis 17 that we just looked at, the very passage, that this is the very passage that refers to circumcision. And the circumcision of Abraham and everyone who comes after him. But as we've already seen, the Old Testament is a shadow, a picture of other things. So the question is, what is circumcision a picture of? And under the New Covenant, it is a picture of the circumcision of the heart. All right, what we call being born again, but the New Testament also calls it the circumcision of the heart. In other words, it's not just the outward appearance. In fact, this was the very thing from the beginning. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, we have this statement. Moreover, your God will circumcise your heart. Now, this is part of the law. And he's saying, God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. Oh. So in order for us to live, God has to cause us to be born again. He has to cause us, our heart to be circumcised, to have the flesh removed. But he promises to do this. The circumcision of the heart. Or we might put it in the terms of Romans 2:29, referring more basically the same thing. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. So the one who was El Shaddai to the patriarchs, is also El Shaddai, the mighty God, to us, to you and to me. He's not the mostly mighty. He is the almighty El Shaddai. So, that tells us something about God. He is the almighty. He is the most high. But let's look at the second point. Something that about what he does for us. All right? So what we've looked at so far is who he is. But now, what has he done for us? And so if we look at the New Testament, this is rare. The New Testament equivalent of Almighty is rare. It appears only once outside of the book of Revelation. It appears 9 times in the book of Revelation, which is kind of interesting. 9 times in Genesis to the patriarchs. 9 times in the book of Revelation, it makes a reference to the Almighty. But outside of book of Revelation, it's only used once. But it is used in a context which shows our relationship with him in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. This makes sense, by the way, why this would not be used a great deal in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, most of the books have focused on Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Savior. So it's not any, shouldn't be any surprise to us that most of the occurrences of Almighty are in the book of Revelation, where we come to the end of time, where he is taking his throne on earth. All right, and so in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Says the Lord Almighty. There's our phrase. He is able to do what he promises to do. So, as I said, like in Genesis where it's used 9 times, in Revelation it's used 9 times. And so, for instance, in Revelation 1:8, we have this statement, quote, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. There's our word. He is no longer just the Savior. He is the Almighty. And by the way, this is a reference to Jesus. He's the one talking. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is also the Almighty. So Jesus is the Almighty, not just God the Father. All right, so then the next, or a lot of, a couple of references are in Revelation 19. Well, that would be appropriate because Revelation 19 is the chapter that deals with the return of Christ with a two-edged sword and the raiment dipped in blood and on a white horse, that sort of thing. In other words, he's not coming as Savior, he's coming as warrior and king. All right, and so in chapter 19, we have the beginning of the chapter, we have the fourfold alleluias. And it says in this, as a part of this, alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. So this is the very chapter where he's taking up his reign on earth. And so the word Almighty would be very appropriate. Then in verse 15, it says, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. All right, so we see his almightiness. So God Almighty is particularly appropriate because he takes his full power at this stage. Now, the last time that this word is used is in Revelation 21, verse 22, when everything is done, the New Jerusalem stands upon earth, and in the context of nations, which was a promise to Abraham that he would be, that many nations would come from him. So now this is in the context of nations, which was the promise to Abraham. It says, I saw no temple in that is in the New Jerusalem. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. The Almighty is the temple of God. We will dwell with God, and God will dwell with us. That is the fullness of the kingdom. So then the question is, what does he expect of us? We've talked about something about God. He is the Almighty. He is the Most High. And what he has done for us is, from beginning to end, shown that he is the Almighty, that he is the one who can do what he says that he's going to do, what he promises to do. Well, but what does he expect from us? In Psalm 91, going back there, verses 1 and 2, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, is that a requirement for us, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, what does it mean to dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Sounds good, but what does it mean, this figure of speech? Well, verse 2. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, let me make something clear here. If you trusted in the Lord when you were 12 years old or something like that, or whatever age, and that was the last time you trusted in the Lord, then you are not trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord is something that is ongoing because God, the Almighty, is ongoing. All right, and so we continue to trust in the Lord, the God, my God, in whom I trust. So this is how you dwell in the shelter of the Most High. This is the point. He is Elyon. He is the El Shaddai, the Most High, and the Almighty. Therefore, we should trust in him. Why? Verses 3 and 4 tell us why. And we've looked at these before. It is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Oh, so we should trust in God because he's the one that delivers us? And from the deadly pestilence. You know what a pestilence is by now. All right, we've faced that for the last 12 months or something like that. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Recognizing that the Almighty, the Most High, is also the one who is faithful. What he has promised to do, he will do because he's faithful and because he is the Almighty. He is able to do it. So the question then becomes, will we continue to trust him? Not just for our eternal life, but for all the daily things that come along with it. Let's take this to the Lord as a prayer, and then we'll have our closing hymn. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are El Elyon. Thank you that you are El Shaddai, that you are the Most High, that there is nothing higher than you, and that you are the Almighty. You have all power, and there is nothing and no one who can stand in the way. We look to you with thanksgiving because what you have promised for us, you will bring to pass. Amen.
We have to sing Psalm 91, I guess. He that dwelleth in the sea.